Hello, and welcome to your Lord of the Flies exam success podcast. I'm here to help you master William Golding's powerful allegory and absolutely nail your OCR GCSE English Literature Paper 2.3 exam. Whether you're revising on the bus, before bed, or during a study break, this 10-minute session will sharpen your understanding and boost your confidence. Today, we're going to explore the key concepts that examiners are looking for, break down the most important themes and characters, share essential exam techniques, highlight common mistakes to avoid, and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test your knowledge. So grab a pen if you can, get comfortable, and let's dive into the island. Let's start with what makes Lord of the Flies such a rich text for analysis. Golding published this novel in 1954, less than a decade after World War II ended. He'd served in the Royal Navy and witnessed firsthand the horrors humans are capable of inflicting on each other. This experience profoundly shaped his view of human nature, and the novel is his response to earlier, more optimistic adventure stories like The Coral Island, where those books showed boys thriving and behaving nobly when stranded. Golding asks, what would really happen if civilization's rules were stripped away? The answer? Chaos, violence, and the emergence of our darkest instincts. Now, let's talk about the central conflict, civilization versus savagery. This isn't just a theme, it's the beating heart of the text. Ralph represents order, democracy, and rational thought. He's elected leader, he prioritizes the signal fire and rescue, and he clings to the rules. Jack, on the other hand, represents primal instinct, authoritarianism, and the thrill of the hunt. As the novel progresses, we watch Jack's tribe descend into ritualistic violence, face paint, and eventually, murder. Examiners love candidates who can trace this shift and analyze how Golding uses language and structure to show the boys' transformation. For example, early in the novel, the boys are described with their school uniforms and caps, but by the end, they're savages with painted faces and sharpened sticks. That's a deliberate structural arc. Let's talk about the conch. This is one of the most important symbols in the entire novel. The conch represents democracy, order, and civilized discourse. Whoever holds the conch has the right to speak. It's a beautiful, fragile object, and its destruction in Chapter 11, when Roger releases the boulder that kills Piggy, marks the complete collapse of civilization on the island. Examiners reward students who can link the conch's physical destruction to the thematic destruction of order. You might write, Golding uses the conch's shattering into 1,000 white fragments to symbolize the irreversible disintegration of democratic values. Now, Piggy, he's the intellectual, the voice of reason, the boy who understands the need for rules and rescue. But he's also marginalized, bullied, and ultimately murdered. His glasses, another key symbol, represent knowledge, science, and the power to create fire, which is both life-giving and destructive. When Jack's tribe steals Piggy's glasses, it's not just theft, it's the triumph of brute force over intellect. Examiners want you to explore how Golding presents Piggy as a tragic figure whose rationality is rejected by the group. Simon is the spiritual and moral center of the novel. He's the only character who understands that the beast isn't an external monster, it's within the boys themselves. His confrontation with the Lord of the Flies, the pig's head on a stick, is a hallucinatory symbolic moment where he realizes the truth. Maybe it's only us. His murder during the frenzied dance in Chapter 9 is one of the novel's most horrifying moments, and it represents the boy's complete moral collapse. When writing about Simon, focus on his role as a Christ-like figure, his martyrdom, and what his death reveals about human nature. Finally, let's talk about the beast. The beast is fear personified. It starts as a vague nightmare, becomes a dead parachutist mistaken for a monster, and ultimately is revealed to be the darkness within the boys themselves. Golding uses the beast to explore how fear can be manipulated by leaders like Jack to gain power. This is a really important contextual point. In the 1950s, the Cold War was ramping up, and fear of the other was being used to justify political control. Examiners love it when you can link the beast to this wider context of post-war paranoia. Right, let's talk exam technique. In OCR Paper 2.3, you'll face two questions on Lord of the Flies, Part A and Part B. Each is worth 20 marks, and you should spend about 25 minutes on each. Part A gives you an extract and asks you to analyze how Golding presents a specific theme or character within that extract. This is your AO2 showcase. You need to zoom in on language and structure. Look for techniques like zoomorphism, when the boys are described with animal imagery, sensory imagery that creates atmosphere, and structural choices like short sentences, building tension. Don't just spot techniques, analyze their effect. Ask yourself, why has Golding chosen this word, this image, this moment? Part B asks you to explore the same theme or character across the whole text, and this is where you bring in context. This is AO3 territory. You need to move beyond the extract and draw on your knowledge of the entire novel. Plan your essay around big ideas about human nature, power, or fear, and support each idea with a quote and contextual insight. For example, you might argue that Golding presents leadership as corrupting, then support that with Jack's transformation and link it to Golding's experience of World War II and his pessimistic view of humanity. Now, common mistakes. First, don't retell the plot. Examiners don't want a summary, they want analysis. Second, don't bolt on context as a separate paragraph at the end. Weave it into your argument. Third, don't ignore the question focus. If the question asks about fear, don't write an essay about leadership. And fourth, don't forget to embed your quotes. Instead of writing Golding says and then a long quote, integrate short phrases into your sentences. Here's a top tip. Memorize 5 to 7 portable quotes that you can use for multiple themes. For example, kill the beast, cut his throat, spill his blood works for savagery, fear, and the loss of innocence. Which is better, to have rules and agree or to hunt and kill? Works for civilization versus savagery and leadership. Okay, time to test yourself. I'll give you a prompt and you pause and answer it in your head or out loud. 1, what does the conch symbolize and in which chapter is it destroyed? 2, name the 3 boys who die in the novel and explain how each death is significant. 3, what is the Lord of the Flies and what does it represent? 4, give 1 quote that shows Ralph clinging to civilization. 5. What contextual factor from the 1950s is most relevant to the novel's exploration of fear and power? How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and revise those areas. These are the kinds of details that separate a grade 7 from a grade 9. Brilliant work. Let's recap. Lord of the Flies is an allegory about the darkness within human nature. The key conflict is civilization versus savagery, embodied by Ralph and Jack. Symbols like the conch, Piggy's glasses, and the beast are essential to Golding's message. In the exam, analyze language and structure in Part A, and integrate context and whole text knowledge in Part B. Avoid plot summary, embed your quotes, and always link back to the question. You've got this? Golding's novel is challenging, but with focused revision and smart exam technique, you can absolutely achieve top marks. Keep practicing, keep analyzing, and remember, examiners reward depth, not breadth. Go for quality over quantity. Thanks for listening and best of luck with your exams. Now go and smash that revision.